Welcome to the CEN Show, a platform where we learn from the world community. I'm your host, Roski Mascagni. And on the panel this evening, we have Ernest McBride Jr., Sister Sophia, Brother Ahi, Paul Johnson, and Lauren. Welcome, everyone. Tonight, our guest is Dr. Inky Real, and he has been on numerous times, giving us great information about health and wellness. And so we're going to do another episode. And tonight, our topic is protein for health and a longer life. So we're going to get started. Dr. Inky, thanks for coming again. Always a pleasure to have you. And let's go for it.
All right, bet. So I think last time we were kind of having the convo about the anabolic system. I think we were talking about the anabolic system and melanocortins and just how the whole anabolic system works.
So can you briefly explain what that is in kind of layman's, please?
Okay, bet.
Before you move
So
on, yeah.
definitely. So science has kind of left out the whole black thing. And there's an aspect of it that there's a part of it that's rooted in racism and things like that, but there's another part of it that's just it doesn't really have anything to do with racism. It just has to do with, how science has developed and just lack of information. So our first medical school in America, 1765, began before science had figured out that two hydrogens and one oxygen make water. So we didn't know what water was when we formed our first medical schools. We didn't know what a cell was when we formed our first medical school. We didn't know what vitamins were. We didn't discover the first vitamin until after the 1900s, 1910. We didn't discover how our body breaks down foods, carbohydrates, fats, proteins. We didn't discover those things out to the following couple of decades. So largely, the blackness, the external pigment, we didn't have a scientific basis for, at least not in the Western academic, Western academia. There was no, there, it was just seen as an extra thing. We had theories outdated, like Darwin and out of Africa and those concepts. But those concepts were all developed before we understood what pigment was. So we didn't have any idea of how chlorophyll works in plants. We didn't understand the full concept of photosynthesis the way we do today. We didn't understand photovoltaism, right? Which is how, you convert light into energy. Photosynthesis is what chlorophyll does. Photovoltaism is more akin to what melanin does. All different pigments have different types of functions. So there was just academically, there was no scientific underpinning to nail down what pigment does, whether it was important to life or whether it wasn't, right? So it got relegated to just an extra, an extra thing. And once we get the understanding of the electron transport chain and we start to learn what redox is, we start to learn about electric signaling in the body. We start to learn about how our body is connected to sunlight in various ways. We start learning how sunlight creates hormones and signal cascades and how this, our body is tied to the environment. And so over the last 5 decades, we've been learning, what pigment is and how pigment works. Hold on 1 second. Over the last few decades, we've been trying, like, figuring out what pigment is, what pigment does, how pigment works. Obviously, we wouldn't have been able to get this far into the science of pigment without turn of the 19th century, getting into quantum mechanics and, the behavior of subatomic particles. Pigment is the interface for subatomic particles in biology. So without quantum mechanics, we wouldn't have any understanding of pigment. And again, the shortcomings of our medical system and our medical institutions, primarily the schools, are that they rely on, Newton's physics. Newton's physics stop with, atoms and matter. They don't, there's no quantum understanding there. So the relationship of photons and electrons and how protons activate, deactivate, regulate protein function, these are all new things that have been developed in the last, 50 years. So the whole anabolic system is regulated by light and electricity. The whole anabolic system from POMC, melanin stimulating hormone, endorphins, melanin concentrating hormone, melanocortins 1 through 5, catecholamines, norepinephrine, dopamine, even, hemoglobins, opsins, the whole gambit. So that we cover in we have like a 15-week class that we're working our way through to really kind of go deeper into that subject. But that's what we were talking about. I think it was like 2, 3 months ago. We were talking about how, the melanin system, because, people still refer to melanin just as a pigment. They don't realize that the pigment is, just a one aspect, it's just the thing that gives you the color, but it's attached to an entire system that regulates the body. It's attached to an entire system. So, melanin, the pigment, comes from melanosomes, the enzymes, which are inside melanocytes, the cell, and those cells function and regulate your immune system. They regulate your anabolic system, and so they regulate your health, regeneration, recovery, pretty much everything that, holistic healers, naturopaths, the medical institution, should be entirely reliant upon the pigment system, because that's literally where all healing takes place, whether you're talking about building new tissues or whether you're talking about immune responses, period. All immune responses are regulated through this pigment system. So, but again, these are largely findings of the last 50 years. So they're relatively new. Things don't really work themselves into academia for at least 50 to 100 years. And they don't work their way into the hospital system until usually longer than that, unfortunately, because once you get your license to go into medicine or surgery, people typically aren't learning new information. You know what I'm saying? They're working off of whatever they learned when they was in medical school. And the way the system works on experience, you have the doctors that are 50, 60, 70 years old running the hospitals, which means they went through school 50 years ago. And so if they went through school 50 years ago, they don't know anything about what we're talking about today, even though we can verify everything we discussed with, scientific journals of every different sort. So that right there was the conversation we were having, and the anabolic system, obviously, We know from the guys with all the muscles that the anabolic system is what drives muscle synthesis or protein synthesis. And so in the fitness and health space, most of the discussion is around like protein for muscle building. And so, we don't really have, none of the studies that have been done on none of the studies that have been done on communities where people live to be 100, none of those communities have shown us like bodybuilders. There are no, big cock diesel football players or Mr. Olympias that live to be 100. Building a whole bunch of muscle has not shown to do anything but put more stress on the tendons and ligaments, more stress on the kidneys and the heart. And ultimately, while people may have financial success, social success, and develop celebrity from big muscles or athletic success, get some contracts and do their thing in sports, it has shortened lifespans. It hasn't led to lengthening of lifespans. So the fitness community, which dominates the health community, is actually a separate, it should be viewed as a separate thing from health, because fit doesn't necessarily translate to longevity. Even the concept of protein in the way that we receive it from the fitness community actually translates to shorter lifespans, because the fitness community obviously is geared around building more muscle, more muscle, more muscle. In order to build more muscle, they have to extend the they have to get the mTOR system. The mTOR system is what puts your body in a state of like cellular growth, cellular expansion, where your body is making more cells than it necessarily needs. And as adults, our mTOR system is all but shut off. It's shut down, because as adults, we should be making just as many cells as we destroy every day. Somewhere around 50 billion, 100 billion, depending on our lifestyle. But that's how it goes. When you're a baby, your mTOR system is highly active, which is one of the reasons why babies need milk. Milk has a combination of amino acids and fats that activates the mTOR system so that you can make as many cells as possible as fast as possible, so the baby can grow. When you get to an adult, you don't want to have mTOR activity. mTOR activity in non-athletic adults is linked to several forms of cancer. Right? That cancer is sometimes they even call cancer a growth. Like if you go get checked, they'd be like, "Well, we noticed you got a growth here. There's no need to be alarmed just yet." There's no need to be alarmed just yet, but we do see you have a growth right here. So, there's a large body of evidence that the mTOR system is not necessarily our friend. So we don't want to have that active. And it just so happens that the amino acids that are promoted by the fitness community to build muscle are the amino acids that actually activate the mTOR system. So those are not the amino acids that we need for longevity. Those amino acids don't necessarily build or strengthen the proteins that we have in our body that weaken over time, that cause us to have longevity issues, arthritis, or breaking bones and certain things like that. So, we got to learn a little bit more. We got to dig in a little bit deeper into the whole concept of protein to be able to, maximize how we live on the other side of 50, even going into 50. You know what I'm saying? I'm right there. Me and 50 is we on the dance floor. You know what I'm saying? I'll be on the other side of 50 in a heartbeat. So, yeah, we have to focus on, two areas for longevity. It is the collagen stimulating amino acids, and then it is the non-essential amino acids. Those are the two areas of amino acids and then subsequent protein production that we have to focus in on. But go ahead, Big Bro, and I know you want to add something.
Somebody had a question?
I thought you had a question.
No.
Oh.
Well,
Mm-hmm.
when you mentioned milk, did you mean human milk? Because there a lot of people may be thinking it's cow milk, which is not the right kind of milk.
Thank you. I was gonna say that.
Yeah, so pretty much it's all milk. So breast milk is, breast milk does the same thing. Cow's milk for non-cows is, it's problematic for, but the whole thing with cow's milk is that we drink cow's milk as adults, right? And so we technically, animals weren't necessarily designed to still be doing the milk thing as adults. But, I guess our bodies are designed for, hormesis. We can take a little poison and we'd be fine. But some people, they do a lot of dairy. And so, people who have excess dairy intake, they definitely have some risk factors that put them on the dangerous side of certain types of cancer risk.
I mean, not to get off topic, but the China study by Dr. Campbell did indicate that the nations that drink the most cow milk actually have a higher osteoporosis. And so the milk, and Dr. Furman as well mentioned
That's a
that
fact.
in his study. So just so that
That is
you
a
have
fact.
a reference for that.
So that, yeah, that, well, so now you open up a can of worms. So that right there is actually a part of a big scam that kind of got quieted down. I think, yeah, everybody on here is definitely old enough. I'm not sure how old Paul is, but I think everybody here is old enough to remember the Got Milk campaign, where they was running those commercials, Got Milk, and milk builds bones and all of this kind of stuff. They actually that was actually found to be like a scam. That was fraudulent advertising, and they legally had to stop those campaigns. That was one of the most successful ad campaigns in terms of, like dollar revenue, because they was getting like all the famous athletes to put, white out and all kind of stuff, whatever they was putting on their lip, like as if they just drank some milk. And milk does the body good, milk builds big bones and all this other stuff. Yeah. They had to legally stop that campaign. That campaign was massively successful. If they weren't stopped, they would have kept that going. But it was studies like the one you just quoted that put the brakes on that whole milk train. Yeah, they had to. It was a big scam. But nobody mentions it. Nobody says the government scammed us, the farmers scammed us. There's no finger we can put on exactly who scammed us. You know what I'm saying? They just forced them to stop those commercials quietly, so the commercials just vanished. But and it was a part of our childhood. It was a part of our life. We grew up with those commercials.
That's right. Are you ready for some questions, Dr. Inkey?
Sure. Sure, yeah.
Okay, Ernest, you have any questions for him so far?
I was just kind of tickled about those commercials he was talking about, because I remember the one, the milk does the body good, you know. I remember that one was on every day, you know, several times a day.
Several times. That's a fact. They ingrained that in our memory. That's stuck in our brains forever. Milk does the body good. Pass it on. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then come to find out, you know. And so, one of the things we talk about is, you know, we've kind of been developing some timelines to help keep track of certain things, like having the discussion about, you know, when medical school was created and this, that, and the other, just to create these timelines so that we have a better understanding of what's going on today. And so, like, we think about the doctors were a part of that. You know, doctors all across, they got paid for those ads. You know, they got paid to tell us that milk, you know, blah, 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 and it wasn't true. You know, just the same way as doctors were the primary salesmen of cigarettes. Doctors were the primary salesmen of cigarettes. All of the cigarette ads back in the days, it was doctors running the ads, you know, doctors smoking cigarettes, doctors, you know, like, so, you know, the reason those things are important is because we don't realize that 50 years from now, our children are going to be looking back at the doctors of our time the same way we're looking at the doctors from 50 years ago that told us cigarettes was healthy, milk builds bones. You know,
Facts.
we don't realize that there's a few things that's going on right now. We may not be able to put our finger on them, but our children gonna look back at these doctors and go, "That was crazy. How did they? How did the? How they gonna look at us? 'Cause like we looking at our parents, like and our grandparents, like, yo, how did y'all listen to doctors tell y'all cigarettes was healthy? Like, we don't care about what the doctor said. Y'all should have knew better. Our children and grandchildren are gonna be looking at us like, yo, how did you let these people tell you it was okay for you to have this, and for you to give us XYZ? You know what I'm saying? So that's where it just becomes important for us to, you know, document the past so that we can be more vigilant in studying what's going on today. So we could, I ain't gonna say eliminate, but, you know, at least limit the ability of, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. You know, fool me three times. I mean, it's getting worse and worse as it goes. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's just important to begin to study and be vigilant and try to learn as much as we can, because we are in a time period where more truth than ever is becoming available for people to learn about. But, you know, we have become a very, like, you know, unstudied people. You know, nowadays, like, you know, I grew up in a time period where people said things like, if you want to hide it from black people, put it in a book. You know, nowadays it's worse. You know, nowadays if you suggest people to read something, they'll start like if you press people to read, they'll like try to like they'll lash out at you. Like you know, they feel like you're insulting them. You know what I'm saying? So it's crazy. And science is passing us by. You know, science is passing us by. We went from a time period where, you know, back in the 60s, Watts and Crick discovered that there was a single code in the DNA. And that code was the code of life. And, you know, that was amazing. Fast forward to 2025, we know there are at least six different codes that work through our DNA for coding of life. And you know, our folks are not even hip. They don't know what they don't even under they don't know they don't even understand the language associated with that.
See, Dr. Enke, This is exactly why we have to have these type of programs, so those who are actually looking to learn and further their, further humanity, they could have programs of this nature to build on. And back in the 80s, when I was attending Long Beach State in the Black Studies Department, we had a professor named Dr. Robinson, and he said, "Truth is forever evolving." So that's what's happening. And then the reason why a lot of people are not gravitating towards, building, the information that you're talking about is because they're programmed. And they're in this hype stage of whatever's popular, they gravitate to, and it could be negative or unhealthy. So that's what happens. But continue, and then you want me to call on somebody else to ask you a question?
Sure. So I guess I'll just circle around. And so the whole idea, I guess with the conversation of proteins, where we bring it back to, the where protein meets DNA, is that that's pretty much our job. I mean, that's pretty much the job of DNA. DNA's job is the synthesis of proteins and all of the associated functions of protein. So a part of understanding how important protein is a part of, learning, how DNA works, what the insane just what the what job your body like your job has to replace 2 million cells every second. 2 million cells a second. Like that's something that we can't even fathom. Those are the things that keep me in wonder and in awe of the human body. We can't even get 2 million things done in a day. It doesn't matter what the things are. We can't get 2 million things done of any sort in a day. Right? But to think that your body is producing 2 million complex cells every second. It's just crazy. And so understanding that is a protein driven job and just how important those are, and then to put those into proper perspective, diabetes and obesity are the primary problems that we have with our body's ability to form proteins because non-essential amino acids form the bulk of the protein that we need built every day. Non-essential amino acids are the main supply chain for the amino acids that our body turns into those 2 million cells every single second. Every second. And it does that because as your body is breaking down fats and carbohydrates for energy to supply energy to those proteins, the ones that are already functioning, the body recycles the byproducts from the fats and the carbohydrates into non-essential amino acids. So when you have a problem like diabetes, which, effectually throws a monkey wrench in your body's ability to break down fats and carbohydrates. What that means is, on the flip side, is you're going to have a breakdown in your body's ability to create non-essential amino acids, which means that you're going to have a problem with your body rebuilding your tissues, your ligaments, your joints, your bones, your organs, your glands, et cetera, et cetera. So this is a silent killer that no one's really discussing. And it's the primary driver behind people having problems as they age, especially, degenerative, situations associated with, the body breaking down that, we've been taught to just kind of like take for granted. over time. Like, oh, you're just getting older. You know what I'm saying? But, at 2025, we have more than enough examples of people who have degenerated, in their 40s and 50s, looking like they're 1,000 years old already. And then we have people around us that look good still at 70, 80, 90. Some people, we know some folks that hit 100, and so we have living examples. Even if we don't understand what's happening behind the living examples, we do have living examples of people living exceptionally well into their 80s, 90s, and beyond.
Okay, I'm gonna go to the panel. Brother Ahi, you have a question?
Yes, Dr. Enke, just one question. You were talking about cells that are regenerating at millions of times a day. I was just asked, I'd like to ask you, could you elaborate on spermidine and or spermidine and what is this function with the cells? And also the protein that will allow you to lose weight and the protein that will have you gain weight and the quality of protein. Thank you.
Spermidine is just it's just a new darling. It's just a new thing they're selling for $1 million right now. I think it's in what is it, wheat germ and mushrooms or something. But it's not something that you have to really go crazy to find. If you're having a diet that is high in fiber and pigments, you'll inadvertently get you some spermidine in. But yeah, they've been doing some tests on it. It's pretty, it's definitely a pretty good supplement to make sure, if you're just building your supplement catalog up, spermidine is definitely one of those nutrients you want to make sure you have in there. They're running some tests on spermidine and telomere length and some other stuff. So that's one of those things like resveratrol was in the early 2000s. They're looking at spermidine like that right now. So you gotta look for the price gouging, of course, that's gonna come with any good press. In terms of a protein source that'll make you lose weight, and then a protein source, you said what? That'll make you gain muscle? Brother Ahi?
Yes, sir, brother.
Yeah, you said a protein source that'll help you to lose weight and a protein source that'll help you to gain muscle?
Yes, sir.
So technically, protein doesn't necessarily help you to lose weight or gain muscle exactly, right? Losing weight and gaining muscle are more about your daily activities. Lose weight and gaining muscle are more about your daily activities. So if you are getting a good bit of glycogen depletion, that's going to be the key to building up muscle, especially from protein. So glycogen depletion happens when you do certain types of exercises that incorporate your fast twitch muscle. Your fast twitch muscle is where you store up the most glycogen. And so you want to be able to exhaust your fast twitch muscle. When you exhaust your fast twitch muscle, you empty out the glycogen stores. That sends signals to your brain for melanin concentrating hormone, ghrelin, and human growth hormone. So, sending that constant signal from exercise to the brain is awesome because that's also going to kickstart that anabolic system. And the anabolic system is what is going to help you convert X amount of protein you consume or amino acids you consume into muscle. But the problem with people in America is that we eat too much protein. People who sell protein, the fitness community largely sells protein. So they have created this false concept that people need more protein. People in America don't need more protein. We eat way too much protein. The thing that we have to understand is that your body works on efficiency. It's about ma'at, balance. So through exercise, right, the glycogen depletion, right, through exercise, you create a demand for protein. And as you increase that demand for protein, you can increase the amount of protein you eat, and that's how you build muscle. But when you eat more protein than you incorporate into your muscles, your body doesn't store protein. So any excess protein, so for instance, say for instance, you live a lifestyle where your body requires, 50 grams of protein a day, right? And you watch the video with some muscle bound guys and they're telling you that they're eating 200 grams of protein a day. So you say, you know what, I'm gonna go get me some protein powder and I'm getting ready to start, I'm gonna start eating 200 grams of protein too. Thing is, you only need 50 grams of protein because you're not breaking down that much muscle tissue every day. So when you have 200 grams of protein, but your body only uses 50 for muscle, your body doesn't store protein. So it takes that extra 150 grams of protein and it converts that into sugar. So now you just actually contributed to your body's fat stores as opposed to building muscle because your body's not going to have anything to do with that extra sugar that you just converted from all that protein, but store it as fat. So, yeah, we don't really need to focus necessarily on getting in more protein. That's a secondary thing. The first thing we got to do is focus on getting our physical activity up, getting our exercise up. Once we get our exercise up and we are, producing a certain amount of energy, then we can focus on making sure we're getting in enough protein to match our activity level. And as we increase the activity level, we have to power that activity level. So powering the activity is where we metabolize sugars and fats. So the sugars and the fats get metabolized in the activity. And then instead of refilling our body with sugars and fats, we want to balance that out and we'll be able to build muscle instead of, steadily increasing the fat stores. But yeah, so the protein thing is not what we want to focus on in terms of building muscle and losing weight. We want to focus on moving around throughout the day. How much time do we spend moving? How many steps do we get in a day? 5,000, 6,000, 10,000 steps. How much exercise are we getting in throughout the day? How much water did we drink throughout the day? Right? Those are the keys to knock out first. And then we start counting, counting protein. And along with counting the amount of protein, we want to focus on the type of protein. And so we don't want to be relying on, like branched chain amino acids. We want to focus on, proline, glycine,
Hydroxyproline.
hydroxyproline, and then plain good old lysine by itself. Because lysine by itself, helps to build the bones, and not just the bones, but also, the immune system, which is important as we get on the other side of 50 as well.
Now, is those what you just mentioned, what type of foods you can get that from?
If you're getting a good variety of, again, produce, you'd be fine. Yeah, if you're getting a good variety of produce, you'd be fine.
Okay.
Yeah,
All right.
those are definitely in your beans, your beans, your greens, your in-betweens. And then if we're eating meat, obviously that's going to be in the meat, you know what I'm saying? So if we're doing red meat, white meat, fish, whatever is there. But the selective part of proteins really only comes into play when we go to supplement. That's where you really need to make a decision on what you're doubling down. Because if you get a good variety of food in, you're kind of going to have, a wide variety of amino acids. But when you go to get your protein powder or your hemp powder or whatever it is that you're doing to supplement, that's where you get to make a choice on what it is that you're doubling down on. And so most protein powders, especially the more inexpensive ones, they're usually loaded or higher with the branched chain amino acids. And the branched chain amino acids are the very same amino acids that I was saying earlier are associated with mTOR activity and a wide variety of cancer.
Okay. All right,
So, did
Tanel,
you want to make the point of that's why
right?
some people, I just really quick, this is important. Some people wonder why they get diabetes when they don't eat sugar, and this could be one of the big reasons why when you have too much protein that's converted to sugar. So a lot of people always wonder, well, I didn't eat a lot of sugar at all, but if you're eating too much protein that converts to sugar, the extra protein that you're eating does convert to sugar, which can lead to also type 2 diabetes, right?
You come on, you got it. You got it. Drop it on them.
Let me get to the some other people, please. Tanel, at Tanel or Tanai, Riggs.
Oh, Tanai is in the building. Shout out to Tanai. Tanai is my tag team partner.
Yes,
I
sir.
didn't know he was in the I didn't see his name on the top. I would have tried to get him in here earlier. He's a chemistry professor. Well, he can tell you exactly his what he does. What's his day job, you know what I'm saying? He fills in a lot of blanks, yeah.
I'm just here to support my brother. Hi everybody. My name is Tanai Ricks. I'm a professor of chemistry at University of Memphis. My PhD is in organic chemistry. My graduate work was in chemical biology, specifically studying metabolism of phospholipids and metabolic tracking of carbohydrates.
Okay, put your number in the chat, please, so you can send it directly to me and I'll contact you. Definitely. Did you have a question for the Dr. Inky?
Yeah,
No,
so
he's here to work.
Inky,
Wait.
No, he's here to work. He's here to work. He's here
No,
to work.
I am not here to work. No,
So
no,
what can you contribute to the
That's
topic
right. That's
then?
right.
For health and all.
That's right.
One thing you can contribute.
So whoever was just talking about the protein also being a contributor to diabetes is correct. So when you talk about insulin response, so carbohydrates elicit the strongest insulin response, but proteins is actually second. So a lot of people think that you're not spiking your insulin when you eat protein, but you do spike your insulin when you eat protein. So even people that, will be on like keto diets, they'll still, if their body is not able to process carbohydrates correctly, or they're insulin resistant and they're not able to process energy efficiently, then you'll still have some issues with diabetes. And a lot of this comes down to insulin resistance. Like insulin resistance manifests in a lot of different ways. It's not just diabetes. Sometimes it's high blood pressure. Sometimes it's PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome. Sometimes it's kidney disease. Sometimes it's cardiovascular disease. And some people develop one of those diseases before they develop something else. But at the root of a lot of things is insulin resistance, and a lot of people don't realize that that their diet is their diet and not moving are really the big contributors to insulin resistance, because your body regulates energy utilization through generally through hormones and through movement. So your body can sense when you're moving, and it will prompt your body to pull sugar out of your bloodstream to fulfill its energetic needs. And it will actually prefer to do that versus using your hormones, because if you have to use hormones repeatedly, you will get desensitized to it over time, which is why you develop a resistance to it. So, just one of the easiest things that you can do when you eat is to just get up and move for like 10, 15 minutes. Some people are saying, you can do like 10, 15 air squats, like every hour or so, and that's like the equivalent of doing 10,000 steps a day. So just any kind of movement that you can fit into your day is gonna be really helpful with taking the stress off of your hormonal systems and put it more on your mechanical regulation system, which is gonna be really helpful in the long run for longevity and for staying sensitive to those hormonal signals.
Excellent. Now, can you put that number in the chat? You
Sure.
can send it directly to me if you don't want other people to see
Okay.
it.
Sure.
But I have some questions for you off the line. Okay, I
There may be
appreciate it.
a few people that may want to know what mechanical regulation system, which is the movement, if you can just quickly elaborate, and then you can continue.
Yeah, so mechanical regulation is I mean, it's just movement. So anytime you have any kind of movement in your body, you have a mechanical movement. So if you think about your body as, just a machine, there's mechanical movement, moving your arms, moving your fingers, moving your legs, recruiting, moving your muscles, your skeletal muscular system, and how it keeps you upright, able to move and traverse the world. Like, just mechanical, when you say anything that has anything to do with mechanical, you're just talking about movement and doing any kind of movement with your skeleton and with your muscles.
Okay, thanks a lot for that. Let's go to Bayat. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, what's up, man?
Peace, Scott.
Peace, man. So on topic, but kind of off topic a little bit. I work in ophthalmology, for retina specialists specifically. We look for a lot of different issues with the eye, but the number one thing we look for is diabetic retinopathy. Yeah, Doc, we gotta talk about this, but I was wondering, because I have a medical job, like I have to word this like the right way. Because like, so I've learned a lot of technical science about the eye, the macula, through this job, but the science is so narrow because it's only supposed to bring you to the drug. The science is never meant to take you anywhere else in most of these medical, but you learn a lot of shit though that you need to know. Excuse me. You learn a lot that you need to know, especially when you see your people in and out of there struggling. And the only things you really can break down to them is, all right, there go them pills over there. There go them needles. Or you can go under the knife. And
Needles in the
sometimes
eyeball is crazy.
that's the majority of what we, most patients, that's what they have to get.
Yeah, needles in the eye is crazy.
Yeah. And you have to get them for the rest of your life. Every 6 weeks, roughly. And I think each injection runs you a couple racks. So it's not
Oh,
a
I'm gonna start using that for inspiration to help people to start ex exercising a little bit more. Like, so we could do these exercises, or I can connect you with my guy, and he can schedule you to get start working on your every 6 weeks stick you in the eye with some needles. I mean, you figure out which one is easier to work into your schedule.
Yo, it's crazy. It's crazy. But so my question is just, if you could just give us some general information you picked up over the years about diabetic retinopathy and maybe ways people could circumvent that. You could point to some of the books on Amazon. Just some general information we can go deeper into.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do a whole thing on it. I'm gonna text you. We're gonna go crazy.
Okay.
Because I think that can be really inspirational. We can inspire people to inspiration
Yeah.
with that, that we can scare some folks. We gotta start using some fear tactics as well. Fear tactics works. You know what
Excellent.
I'm saying? So we
Excellent.
gotta, yeah,
Appreciate that.
that's
Yeah.
scary.
Yep. Yeah.
Class that we're dealing with now, I'm seeing more and more they're finding, in autopsies, they're finding plastic even in the brain from this bottled water. So is something we're gonna have to start dealing with too.
Yes, absolutely. So, it's funny, but all of these different things seem like they're not connected, right? Like we're talking about, diabetic retinopathy. We're talking about plastic in the brain. We're talking about, protein and muscles and fat and obesity. And what's crazy is that the one thing that links all of these things together is your lymphatic system. That's literally how the plastics get in the brain. That's one of the reasons why our eyes have so much trouble, is because places like our eyes, so our eyes suffer like our feet do. People with diabetes, a lot of times they get amputation in their feet, because of poor circulation. A lot of the problems we experience in our eyes is also because of poor circulation, because everywhere in our body relies on not just water or hydration, but on our lymphatic system to be able to move and keep these places clean, not just with fresh water, but changing the water, like keeping the water flowing like a stream or a river. And our lymphatic system, it doesn't have a pump. It's relying upon us to move around. So a lot of the benefit that people get from, the 10,000 steps a day, or the small frequent, burst of exercise throughout the day is on the mechanical system and the lymphatic system. The lymphatic system is, it's almost forgotten. People don't discuss it. It's not discussed in the fitness universe. It's almost forgotten. And even more rare is the conversation about the connective tissue or the fascia. It's almost just like it's something that's in the way. And the fascia actually carries the lymphatic system. The lymphatic system is like tubes moving through the body, but those tubes are interwoven all throughout the connective tissue. And when we exercise, we literally, we put pressure, we contract and relax those connective tissues, and those connective tissues through those movements is what squeezes the water throughout the lymphatic system. And every so many, inches, feet, meters, throughout the lymphatic system, you have places where you need to like have like washer machine type movement, in order to help make sure you keep your organs, clean and hydrated, whether that's the perivascular space for the heart, the glymphatic system for the brain, the vitreous fluid in the eyes. Your eyes have their own kind of thing, and diabetic retinopathy, is often accompanied by, like high blood pressure in your eyes. Like that, I didn't even know that was a thing. When I found that out, that was crazy for me. I was like, high blood pressure in my eyeballs? It's like, okay, so yeah, we gotta figure out high blood pressure in the eyes. Like that's a real thing. So yeah, it just keeping the water moving. Like, you know, there's a lot that we need to learn about the things that are basic, because I guess a part of human nature is that we overlook the things that we, you know, we take for granted, the most basic things to us. We just assume that we know. And so, you know, keeping the water moving helps to, you know, keep the blood sugar low, keep the blood sugar issues at bay. But it also helps for things like plastics and things that we're exposed to. 'Cause, you know, there's things that we can do to limit exposure, but we can't eliminate exposure. So the main thing that we can do is make sure that our lymphatic system is moving and is working strong enough to try to eliminate those toxins from our body before they lodge in the tissues and get incorporated in the tissues where they become problematic. You know, as we have toxic substances floating around the lymphatic system, they don't really bother us, because that's kind of what the lymphatic system is for. They belong there. We can flush those things around and they'll find their way to the toilet. But if we allow them to float around in the body long enough, because we're not moving or not getting enough water, not getting enough pressure on the system, they'll wind up getting into some tissues, and then that's when we'll start to have some action. That's when we'll start to get some problems from, you know, some of the environmental chemicals and toxins that we're dealing with.
Okay, I want to get one of our team members in here to ask a question or make a comment about what you're talking about. We have Dr. Sherita Yazid here, and she's a naturopath. So I wanted to get her
Oh.
in here to either ask a question or make a comment. Dr. Sherita, can you unmute, please? As a matter of fact, she has a series on our show. It's called The Natural Way with Dr. Sherita, and she's our guest for next week. And she takes questions from, people about natural remedies and things they can do about their health. Dr. Sherita, can you unmute, please? Maybe she's doing something at the moment. I'll go to Carol, Carlene. Carlene.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for the invitation, Dr. Enke. And my name is Carlene. I go by Tika as well. I've been studying alongside Dr. Enke for a little while, actually for quite a while. And I'm also studying with Dr. Brown as under doing his herbology class as well. And along the side, I'm also working on becoming a I'm sorry, I'm kind of nervous right now. I'm also working on
Don't be
becoming
relaxed.
a
You with the family right here. This is all us right here.
postpartum doula, because we know that a lot of women who gives birth, they don't actually get the aftercare that they need. I'm interested in doing that in order to help them with my expertise as far as cooking and making them feel comfortable and taking care of the baby while they rest.
That's crazy. I mean, if they women know that they need that, that's kind of dope.
Thank you. Yes.
I think the men that get the women, I think the dads need the, yeah, I think that works for the whole family. That's good.
Yes,
Yeah,
it
'cause the women
does.
be cranky and crazy, you know what I'm saying? They can get like a
Exactly.
post.
They
Yeah,
need some rest.
that works. Absolutely. That's a fact.
Yes. Because I do hear a lot of stories about women who didn't have the opportunity to get the aftercare. So, Dr. Enke, I do have a question for you. And I'm pretty sure that anyone else who has not been around you for quite a while will
I'm
probably
going to
have the same
redirect that question
question.
right to Tanai. So go ahead and ask him.
We know during the summertime, we are extremely active where we're outside, we're exercising. And as the weather's getting colder, what can someone do to make their body feel that it's still summertime? Because we do end up getting, some of us get lazy during the cold where we don't feel like doing
That's a
anything.
pretty good question.
So what can individual do to have their body continue to operate as if it was summertime?
So,
Please.
yeah, so that's a good question. I'm interested in actually hearing Tanai's. I was joking, but I'm definitely actually interested in hearing Tanai's answer to this. But I do know that your body uses vitamin K and vitamin D as sensory inputs for seasonal regulation. So by 'cause naturally your vitamin K level drops in the winter, and naturally your vitamin D level drops in the winter, or it's supposed to. Like if we were living in a natural, kind of four season kind of thing, naturally our vitamin D levels and our vitamin K levels would drop in the fall and the winter. So I would say just paying attention to those things, and then maybe making sure that we keep our B vitamins up, keep our B vitamins up, because those are another form of input. Because typically we're getting B, unless we're supplementing, we're getting B vitamins typically from, summertime fruit. And so your body, that's another sensory input. It's not enough, there's not as much berries and just colorful fruits around that we normally eat throughout the summer. So we kind of get a little sloppy with B vitamins. So yeah, I would say just keeping up vitamin K, vitamin D, and then your B vitamins will keep your body in a summertime, in a summertime space. And then in terms of like sad and the emotional support, vitamin D and exercise. Vitamin D, there's a lot of studies on vitamin D. Vitamin D and exercise are pretty good in that space as well. So those are simple. Like we don't need to get into angel wolf berry herb root from, like Mount Kilimanjaro, or put you on a hunt for a rare type of food or nutrient. Like just the basic vitamin D, vitamin K, B vitamins, and those are the things that your body use to kind of get a good idea what season it is and what's going on. So yeah, keep those up, keep your movement up, and yeah, let's get Tanai in there.
You just determined to put me to work tonight. Okay,
Yes,
so
sir.
I don't really have a lot more to contribute to that. I think that those two things are probably going to be the most important. And really just to, train. So I think that and this is something that my trainer, the personal trainer, is this is something that my trainer has kind of been pushing me towards, is not thinking about exercise as just a thing that you do to stay active, but actively training like an athlete, because our bodies are made for movement. And so when your body is highly adaptable and it's sensitive to the information that you're putting into it. So exercise is information. The exercise that you do every day tells your body to act in a certain way. It tells your body to rebuild in a certain way, down from your bones to your muscles to your nerves, anything that's controlling any of your movement. If you're doing high intensity movements, your body knows that it has to rebuild in such a way to support those high intensity movements. Like my trainer the other day had me doing broad jumps. I haven't jumped like that since I was in high school. And one of the ladies in the gym was like, wow, that's really impressive. I'm like, yeah, I'm almost 40. You know, so it's like doing broad jumps at 40 is not something that people really think about doing. But if you think about how the body is constructed, we're constructed to be athletes. And I think that if you train and you exercise in a way that is pushing yourself to be an athlete for life, then your body's naturally going to adapt to that. And it's going to push you to adapt the foods, the nutrients, the vitamins, the things that you need in your diet in order for it to continue to work like an athlete's body.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Enke. Thank you, Dr. Tanai.
Okay, thank you. I'm gonna go to Lauren.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great. First off, thank you. I'm glad to be here. I love learning about this stuff. I just had a family member who passed, who was diabetic and was to the point where he needed the shots in the eye for the glaucoma, and he absolutely refused it because he was in like late stages of dementia. And so yeah, it's just, but in the house, his wife always kept sweet things around. And so I wonder if someone
She
can
loved
see.
him to death.
She did. She did. She did. And so I just wonder if we can speak on the importance of the familial support, and the importance of saying no and letting these people that we love, even though we love them, you can't have these things. And how difficult it is when you love someone to say, listen, you have to stop. You can't have this. You need to do something different,
I think the big problem is that people don't know. I think the problem is that people don't know. So, let's just create a hypothetical household with a husband and wife in there. And so, I want the wife to be sick though. I don't think I like the story with the husband. But I guess we can roll with it since this your example anyway. But so the husband, we're gonna make the husband sick. But these people are both largely ignorant about how their body works, right? So they are representative of John Q. Public, and they pretty much just know what the doctor tells them. And the problem with that is doctors are not always super well informed. And the other thing is doctors just give instruction. Doctors don't really give explanation unless people pry and force their doctors to give them more information. But usually people just get the instructions from the doctor. The doctor said, take these pills twice a day, don't eat this, do eat that, move a little bit more, call me up in 2 weeks. Like they don't really get a bunch of information. So, the patient knows, avoid sweets. The wife knows my husband is supposed to avoid sweets, but the wife doesn't really know the impact the sweets will have on the husband. So it becomes and this is something I guess. So one of the things I tell people that try to jump into the online healer holistic space is, this is a new thing. Back in the days, we actually had to go to people's houses. We had to visit people that were, hitting us up for help. They would, people would send me bus tickets or plane tickets so I could come to their house, and like you had to see people. And so you learn a different way that you learn. It's the same information, but you just learn it a different way. You get a more well-rounded view. And so what happens is when you have that type of dynamic, right? Going back to our example, there's a line where the wife has to try to make a decision on her own. And it's obviously an uninformed decision on her husband's mood, her husband's depression, and the sickness and the implications. So the depression, the mood, the mood cycling and all of those, the anger and all of those things will cause the wife, because that's heavy on the wife to carry. After a while, she's just gonna be like, well, go ahead, just have a little bit, because he'll have some sweets or whatever, and then he'll be a totally different person. He's happy, he's upbeat, he's whatever. And that works. And so the wife is learning her own information now. She's learning that these foods that he's not supposed to have make him feel good. It lifts his spirits up. And so, as far as she's concerned, maybe the doctor's not fully considering the whole person, because he can't just take medicine all the time, because he's going to die from depression or die from anxiety or these other things. And so she needs to understand. That's why, the information is the most important thing, because there's other foods that she could give him to lift his spirits. There's other things that he could do to lift his spirits. And then the implication of, like, just basic kind of hood 101, risk to reward factor. Like, we all want a whole bunch of money, but is it worth the risk to rob this bank? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? So we want him to feel good, but is it worth the risk associated with him having momentary, y'all watching, I guess, an extra Netflix series and having a few laughs, versus, he go to sleep tonight and then don't wake up. And then, you're dealing with the guilt trip, and then you have a whole bunch of other uninformed people saying, don't beat yourself up. You didn't know, it wasn't your fault, blah. No, it was your fault. You killed him. Just,
Oh man.
it was you. It was you. You did it. You know what I'm saying? But grandmas
What?
have been killing us for a long time. So, a lot of, it's a lot of, it's a lot of family. You just gotta learn better to do better. You know what I'm saying?
No. And I mean, the one thing that I can say is that she is also diabetic. And now that, I'm fearful for her because now that he's gone, just like you were saying, once a spouse passes away, it's not that long before the other spouse just dies of a broken heart. I think that's what they call it, right? Like a broken heart.
That's kind of, I was kind of reading Dr. Sherita's text message at the same time, but I think what you was talking about was people dying from a broken heart, where one spouse dies and then shortly after, we do our medicine every week, and it's we kind of go a little crazy on there with the trolling, but that was a part of the message we were trying to get out there, that that may have been a factor in, D'Angelo's passing after Angie Stone's passing. That's definitely a real thing, where there's it's just stuff that science hasn't covered yet. That's another reason why we go through that timeline. We haven't gotten to the point where we've refined our understanding of energy enough to get into the ties that really truly bind people, even if we have evidence that we can make these predictions on. We don't really have the mechanism of what's at play there. But definitely, when people are connected a certain type of way, it impacts you, even if it just is a translation from depression and anxiety to, how you take care of yourself. You know what I'm saying? Because you lose a person like that, you stop wanting to brush your teeth. You don't even want to wipe yourself after the toilet. You don't want to get out the bed. You don't want to, you eating bags of cookies and you just going crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, those things, we don't really think about how those things impact us in terms of, like, chronic disease. We don't associate not taking a bath, not taking a shower, not brushing our teeth, eating a bunch of sweets, and just moping around. Like, we don't associate that with chronic disease. and then you splash in some cigarettes, some weed, some alcohol, some whatever, you gotta, it can get nasty very quickly. You know what I'm saying? Because those are the things typically we use to try to fill those holes from our missing dad, our missing mom, our missing husband, our missing wife, or God forbid we experience children pass before the parents, which is never supposed to happen. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, and you know, she's an older woman. She's in her 80s, you know, and now she's at the point where she's living alone, and it's just, I'm just fearful for her life now
Well, she should
because,
stop living alone. That's what I think. Get out of that. Get out of that apartment. Get out of that house, and go move in with somebody.
it's going to take some changes, and those
Yeah.
changes I think are coming. But you know, like I mean, this literally just happened a couple of weeks ago, so
The
you
sooner the
know,
better, though. The being alone is its own type of toxic substance.
yeah.
Think about this. Being alone is so crazy that we use that as a form of punishment. Like you shoot somebody, you rape, rob somebody, you go to jail. You know, in jail, the whole thing is you're isolated from everyone else. But even jail is not as bad as sometimes the punishment we can put ourselves through, because even in jail, you have a bunkie. You have at least one person to share your room with. Then you have some other folks to eat with at breakfast and lunch. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can, being alone is not. Humans are herd animals. We're not designed to be alone. That is not a part of the blueprint. That is a unfortunate aspect of how our modern societies are set up, that people can be kind of left alone. You know what I'm saying? But that's not how we're supposed to. She needs to just get back with some family. Move in with her kids, something. Yeah, she needs to get back around some other folks.
Yeah, we're working on that, but you know, we'll it's just it blows my mind that you know, these older generations, and I'm talking about Inky, you and I are the same age, so we're talking about people our parents' age. You know, my mother is almost 80 if she's not there already. But you know, they just don't understand how the body works. And but I mean, it makes perfect sense, you know, when we go back to the example of us not even knowing what makes water and a molecule of water, even I don't know how many years after it was before the first medical hospital was you know, the 1765, right?
Talk that talk. That's right.
Yeah, you know, so it kind of follows, but I think, you know, we need to be able to have these conversations with our older generations. And you know, but it's just like you were telling me, you know, once you get to a certain point, it's already too late. You know, if you, because it takes like what, 20 years or something like that. At least 20 years for Alzheimer's to set in, like
It's that's minimum. It sometimes it's cooking back there for 30 or 40 years. So that's one of those things that doesn't turn over quickly. Yeah, that
Okay,
doesn't.
we got to move on. I
All
appreciate it.
right. Thank you so much. I appreciate you all. And yeah, no, thank you. Thank you
So
for.
Dr. Sharita's in the back. She's asking about vitamin D specifically, for black folks. So I'm gonna toss that over to you tonight, but I'm gonna say I think black people need more vitamin D than what is typically the typical daily dosages. I think the typical daily dosages are insane. But even on the higher end, I think black people need more than those recommended dosages, because so the thing is, our cholesterol levels. So, over the years, we've had this thing where we've had this back and forth in the medical system about black people having naturally higher cholesterol levels, and it's been kind of a back and forth thing. But the whole concept is that your cholesterol should match your daily exposure to sunlight. And so the problem is not necessarily the cholesterol as much as even with the vitamin D deficiency we're experiencing, it is because we're not getting in the sunlight. So vitamin D deficiency is always coupled to too much cholesterol. The reason is because your body turns cholesterol into vitamin D. So if we're not getting the sunlight, that means that we're not converting the cholesterol. The cholesterol is building up. So the problem with that is when we just simply say, okay, cool, we're going to supplement the vitamin D, we're still kind of left hanging with the cholesterol that's not being converted, right? So I think we definitely need to get out, get outside, get some sunlight, try to get as much natural vitamin D production as possible, wherever possible and probable. Get some more expensive light bulbs in your house which have UVB production, so that way we can get some UVB light while we're walking around in the house and get some vitamin D that way. But then also, just because of the wonderful things that it does, we definitely need to supplement vitamin D as well. Vitamin D is important for our calcium metabolism and for our iron metabolism.
Okay. Thank
Okay, thank you for that, brother. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm just really, really burnt out today. I'm just getting home. I'm
No, I
working on these
appreciate you
e-rooms
tapping in.
cleanings over
I'm
these,
glad.
yeah, and putting out some fires. Yeah, but I appreciate your take. The reason why I was asking, I've been living in Ghana, next year it'll be 20 years, and
That's
living
dope.
in Africa, of course, you get in sun. And then I'm thinking, what sometimes it's a thing of, you have these numbers that you're supposed to take this much of vitamin D, this much of vitamin A, all these different things, right? But we're different.
That's a fact.
You know what I'm saying? They're not like us. Dun, 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 dun. Because of living in Africa, and then I'm there in Africa and people want to take vitamin D, I'm like, go outside. Literally, just to walk from your
It.
car to the store was enough. You know what I'm saying? Just go outside and stop taking sunshine in the pill. We have a store, so people are always coming looking for it. So my thing is, I do understand, okay, a lot of times some places that we live, we don't get enough sun. We're in California, even though we had this rain today, we had a very, sunny day. So we get the sun here. But again, I agree with everything that you're saying. I'm just trying to find another way,
Yeah,
excuse me, another way to talk to people about the vitamin D and making it make
definitely.
sense. Like the math is not mathing.
No. Well, here's how, I mean, I guess you got to tailor the conversation to who you're talking to, but society hasn't been structured necessarily by black folks. So the way society is set up, you are. So UVB is a specific that's only going to be available from, 11 o'clock in the afternoon to maybe 2 or 3 o'clock April to September. So right now we are in vitamin D kind of winter time where it doesn't matter what UVB available. And it's the UVB portion of the sun that actually converts the cholesterol into vitamin D. So I think the thing is information first. People have to appreciate the vitamin D in order to like make the most of their summertime opportunity. Like go, you know, while it's there, you got to soak it up because, you know, once October, November hits, it's a wrap. You know, unless you're in Southern California, Southern Texas, Southern Florida, or Africa showing out, you know what I'm saying? Where we just getting it all year round. But even in those places, you know, people are still in school and at work throughout the day. So they've got to make some concessions. They've got to make it a thing in their life to, you know, eat outdoors. You know, if you only got an hour, you know, go eat outside, you know, be
But
outside.
I come to find in Ghana, they're just trying to follow, America or the UK. They're not looking at their actual African healers. It's telling them, go, that you're getting the sun. But I was also thinking of the people who are living in these cold areas that's not getting the sun. If you think they can get, so I just trying to get them away from the pill, right? If they can get supplementation, this is just a theory, of foods that come from areas that, have lots of sun, and fruits that are in season when it's, when it's the hottest, because even Ghana has three seasons.
It doesn't really translate because the fruits per se the fruits don't really they're not really high in vitamin D. The only vegan sources of vitamin D3 is like reindeer moss, which is like a type of like a lichen, kind of like an algae, but it's like a hybrid algae. And then they use alfalfa for they use fermented alfalfa for like vitamin D2. So but yeah, there's not really much sources of vitamin D. Because it's a fat soluble vitamin, so typically it's a you know it's really the sun UVB. You know your body is the mechanism, the liver, the liver and the kidneys really make vitamin D from cholesterol. You know that absorbs that UVB. So it's not it's not really in the plants like that. So they really gotta But so I see where you at though with it, and I
But
went
you
through
said
those
the
same
fat
struggles.
soluble, it made me think about foods that are fat soluble. That's, from there. But like you said, it was just
I
all
went
a
through that
theory.
same yeah, I went through that same space in Philly because in Philly, it was crazy. Me having bow legs when I was a baby, I know what it is. And so when I lived in Philly, it was insane out there because in Philadelphia, it's a real Muslim, you know, it's a real Muslim city. So a lot of the women are walking around, especially fully covered up with the Muslim outfit and all that throughout the summer. So they're not getting any sunlight year round. Even when they're pregnant, they're not getting it. So a lot of people out there are bow leg, and I had to tell folks, I was like, hey, listen, let me tell you something. I know we think that bow legs is cute in the black community, but let me explain to you. Bow legs means that your mom was vitamin D deficient, and when you she was pregnant with you, and so you were vitamin D deficient as a baby. So yeah, that's actually like nah, that's not we yeah we don't want to keep that's not a thing we want to. So but yeah, I started really to dig into that because a lot of times when you tell people to supplement, the reality is that we go to the vitamin shop. And, you know, like we go in there, we go, okay, let me go get some. They told me I need some vitamin D. And so the person behind the counter will point them to vitamin D right there. And it'll be like, you know, $28.99 or $38.99. And the person will look at that. They don't really have information, they don't really understand vitamin D, how their body works, the need that they have for it, or anything like that. And they'll go, man, that's expensive. You know what I'm saying? They might be wearing $300 sneakers, but do you tell them to get $25 vitamin D? They go, man, that's expensive right there. You ain't got no other ones? And they'd be like, oh, yeah, look over there. And they see some vitamin D over there on the side. Them joints might cost $6, $8, $10. And so there's a huge difference in the quality of different type of supplements that's available out there. So typically, the problems that people have are with the lower end of the vitamins out there, and they're not really, you know, nothing is going to be the same as the actual your body creating vitamin D. Nothing comes close to the sunlight, but you know, getting high quality, you know, supplements and maybe sacrificing some other stuff definitely is key. But people have to know how important it is in order to do that.
Okay.
Okay, I appreciate you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you. We have two more people. We have Paul Johnson.
Peace, peace, peace. Yeah, so I've been following Inky for, I don't know, man, since like 2015, 16. And I just always liked the way he broke down science and stuff like that. So he just really made it real relatable. I put it in layman's terms and just kind of made it simple to understand. So I didn't really have any questions until Lauren, she had brought up, you know, kind of bereavement and grief and stuff like that, people going through that. And I had ran I ran across some studies on REM sleep, and I know Dr. Inky talks about REM sleep and what happens during REM sleep. So is that like an
Gotta have it.
effective, is that like an effective thing, along with exercise? Because, you know, they got plenty of studies on mental health and, you know, also,
They go together though. See, that's the thing. They go together because typically, the people who get in more exercise typically get in more REM sleep. And people who typically get in more REM sleep typically have more glymphatic system activity with clearing the brain of toxins and things like that, to go back to the brother's question about plastics on the brain. So some of these things that seem unrelated are related. You know what I'm saying? Like, so yeah, there's definitely a correlation between a lot of these things. And then obviously, exercise helps with the neurochemistry in terms of they've run a whole bunch of there's a bunch of papers floating around that are being, you know, suppressed as best as they can that shows that exercise works just as good as certain you know drugs that are prescribed for different aspects of mental health. Not all of them, but there are a wide variety of studies on different drugs and in comparison to exercise, and how exercise can definitely replace some of the drugs and turn anxiety and depression around. So that's it's definitely, you know, but that's when you get in that space, you know what I'm saying? 'Cause man, I don't know how long it was between me taking, you know, showers and baths when my dad died. You know, that was rough for me.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I still miss my dad to this day, so I know what that feeling is like. You know what I'm saying? And we don't realize, 'cause we just think of it as socially, like, you know, you don't want to be looking crazy or smelling, you know, with people around, you know what I'm saying? But we don't realize it's way deeper than that. You know, it's translating to issues that may not even surface for another year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, when we go through those little, you know, when we go through those time periods. So we definitely can't be alone. We need to have people to lean on.
You know, and my dad, you know, he's definitely above 60 right now. So I go and see him and stuff like that, and he's telling me, you know, I personal train, right? So he's asking me, hey, I don't want to take your time for free and stuff like that. And at first I was kind of like, oh, well, just let me know, when you're ready and stuff like that. But, lately I've been doing some thinking. I was like, you know what? Hey, look, we're going to set you up with a workout plan and stuff like that. Because at the end of the day, I know my dad got me on the working out. And so, I was just kind of like, you just need a little nudge.
Your
But
dad's playing himself. What are you talking about?
yeah.
He'll want to get you to train him for free. Tell him he already paid in advance. You owe right now. You in the hole. You owe your dad.
So, I'm gonna get him on a program and stuff like that. Of course, implementing all the stuff that you've been teaching and stuff like that. So, but I did also want to kind of go back to that question with the REM sleep and the exercise, because I know the exercise increases emotional resilience, right? So, and then the REM sleep, with the pruning, the haunt, the painful memories and stuff like that. So I was thinking, if would that even be an effective method to help somebody recover from,
Absolutely,
some,
absolutely.
yeah.
It's not a single thing, but absolutely, that's definitely you want to package that with whatever else you got going on, whether the person is on meds or whatever the other aspects of their program is, exercise is absolutely beneficial.
All right. So we have Osborne Sayers.
Oh, we got my man Osborne in the building.
Osborne, you want to unmute and ask a question? Because we're on our last legs of the show tonight, this evening.
Yeah, we never went this long.
Well, I really don't have a question. I just want to just confirm everything that Inky teaches, because basically I'm not here if I didn't run into find Inky and start following his instructions. I had a stroke in 2021. I'm recovering because of Inky. Like I'll say again, anytime I'll be glad to tell anybody. I am here only because of Inky. So whatever he talks about health, I am listening. I buy every book he has. I try and follow everything he tries to tell me to do because, again, I am not here if I didn't run into Inky. I'm blessed because of Inky.
I'm blessed because of you, brother.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing that he likes coming on our show, because this is the type of information we need to get out here versus a lot of the other information that's really a bunch of nonsense. But I can't focus on that. I just got to keep doing what I'm doing and doing what we're doing
Yes, sir.
so we can keep it going.
Would you mind me saying one thing as far as health-wise goes? Health. One thing I focus on a lot, and again through Inky, VO2 max. Increase that as much as possible. Everything else will fall after that. Health wise, it'll improve your sleep. We were just talking about sleep. Maybe even resting heart rate is another metric to try and increase, because I mean, get lower.
Yeah, I was about to say you want to try to decrease it, but we follow, we got where you're going. You want to
What did you
improve.
say at first?
He said you want to increase your VO2 max,
And what
and
is
then
that?
he VO2 max is your body's efficiency to use oxygen. So it's a measure of how well your body uses oxygen, and it's the driving factor behind everything in our metabolism. So it's really something important that we need to kind of pay
So
attention to.
what is that? Sort of like breathing exercises, and what is
That's
it?
treadmill work.
Well, kind of breathing exercises. You could do some, you could do some pranayama and some other, but you could definitely do some treadmill stuff as well. There's a wide variety of ways to approach improving your VO2 max. Definitely exercise in general, but
VO2 max.
yeah, the first thing is to just be cognizant of it, like to let VO2 max be a thing in your mind that you say to yourself, you want to work on improving. And obviously definitely cutting down on crazy, like smoking and any, stuff like that. But yeah, there's a variety of ways that we can go about improving VO2 max. Even there's some studies out there on scented, like oils and different things, improving our body's VO2 max by helping to clean, and ventilate our lungs. And just it's so many different contributory factors. How well our lungs work, how well our circulatory system works, how well our pigments are functioning, because there's a handoff from hemoglobin to myoglobin. Just a variety of things. Mitochondria, lactic acid, cycling, and just a whole bunch of different related things. But getting good, healthy, greens and fruits. And this is where what Dr. Sharita was saying would definitely come in. Now, getting those fruits in, from some other places would definitely help your body's ability, your body's metabolism and respiration. Definitely. Those things have a big impact.
Okay, well, good, good. So, Dr. Enke, I want to get to let Sophia get the last words. Everybody, Sophia is the reason why Dr. Enke is here, and I have much gratitude for her. And so, Sophia, your last words before we leave out.
Yes, definitely. Since you guys continued to talk about REM sleep, I just wanted to verify that with it's a study by University of West Rochester, New York, and it was published in the Annual Review Pathology Journal by one of the key doctors is Mikan Nedigard, and it talks about how the glia cells in your brains, these are cells in your brain. When you sleep, when you get enough sleep, what they do is they shrink. When they shrink, they allow the cerebral spinal fluid that surrounds your brain and your spinal cord to like move faster. And as it's moving, it's moving waste all the trash out of the brain. So when you're not getting enough sleep, when your body's not resting well as well, because you could close your eyes and not be resting. So you want to make sure that you're when you're health, because there are three things. So you have physical stress, you have chemical stress, and then you have there are three of them. Anyways, so you want to make sure that you reduce the inflammation. So when you're getting that rest, your body's allows your body to get rid of that waste out of your brain because it's cleaning the spinal fluid. So that's one study. And then the other thing I also wanted to confirm with you guys is regarding smoking. Smoking also is contributes to wet macular degeneration, which creates like the bleeding in your eye, and that's why some people get injections to stop the bleeding in the eye. I've actually seen this, myself with people that I've dealt with, and then you can also look up Jeffrey Wigand. He's the whistleblower for the tobacco industry and how they hid all the information. They knew that tobacco caused cancer, and yet they still pushed it on the masses to the public. And there's a movie that was done with Al Pacino called The Insider, so that explains how Jeffrey Wigand was able to expose the tobacco industry. And then when you're talking about vitamin D, make sure it's doctors and scientists always prefer vitamin B3 instead of vitamin B2, which is synthetic. Vitamin B2 is synthetic, which is not the non-preferred one. So you want to get the vitamin B3 and always be cognizant of balancing vitamin B3 with vitamin A, because they use the same receptors. So you want to make sure that you're also getting enough vitamin A. I mean, if you're going to supplement with vitamin D3, make sure you're also getting enough vitamin A. Anyways, this topic of protein is so critical. Everybody always talks about like the building of the body structure, but if you look at your body's ability to make energy, which what is what you need, like adenosine triphosphate, ATP, in order for the body to make that, there are different types of proteins, like the mitochondrial calcium uniporter regulator 1 and regulator 2, that control your body's ability to allow calcium to get into the cell or into the mitochondrial matrix rather, or not. And if you don't have like the right types of protein to do that, or you don't have enough calcium, I'm just giving you an example so you can also think beyond just the larger body structure. This is inside your cell, and it's in, and then also the mitochondria. So they control your cell's ability to open those the mitochondrial calcium uniporter, which allows the calcium to either allow the calcium into the mitochondrial matrix or not. So when you're exercising, your body needs more of the body needs more energy, so that balance has to be changed. But anyways, I was just giving you that as an example. It's not always the larger structures. You can also talk about it at the cellular level. But it was an amazing show, and thank you all of you guys for giving us all this incredible insight. So thank you, Dr. Inky, and all the other panelists that came on. So it was an awesome show.
No,
Thank you.
thank you. And I'm glad that I know I can invite people, because I'm gonna be bringing Dr. Tanai all the time now.
Oh, that's a good thing. All right, folks, it was really good, and I appreciate it, Dr. Inky, Dr. Sophia, and the rest of the doctors that are here. I appreciate everyone. We're going to close. Next week, we have Dr. Sharita of The Natural Way with Dr. Sharita. She's taking questions. So you are welcome to attend the same way you attended this evening. It's right on the homepage of the website. And we also have shows on Tuesdays, and we have different series. So thanks a lot. Everybody continue to have a great day.
Yes,
And
sir.
until we see each other again, each one teach one in Conscious Corner. Take
That's
care.
it. Peace.